Today, Operation Ricochet. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. A ricochet is defined as a glancing rebound, as for example, of a projectile of a flat surface. And in the markets, we're seeing that in spades at the moment. So in this week's market review, we will start as normal in the US, across to Europe, and then Asia, and in Australia. But I wanted to stress how volatile things are. In a situation where good news is bad news and expectations of a recession or a slowdown are growing, and central banks are still generally talking interest rates higher. Plus, as I discussed yesterday, there is a growing divergence between the RBA's approach compared with other central banks, to the point where we risk higher rates for longer in a slowing economy, which is exposed not only to exchange rate risks, but also to a slowing China. The Dow gained on Friday as investors mulled a mixed jobs report and speculation about China easing COVID-19 lockdown measures, but that wasn't enough to prevent the market from snapping a three-week winning streak following the Fed's rate hike this week. In fact, global shares rose on Friday and the US dollar fell after jobs data came in stronger than expected, but also hinted at some slack in the tight American labour market, triggering again some hope that the Federal Reserve might ease up on monetary tightening, despite what was said just a day earlier about the need for higher rates. Data from the US Bureau of Labor Statistics showed the economy generated 261,000 jobs in October. That was higher than an estimate of around 195,000, which was expected, but it also showed that unemployment was rising to 3.7% from 3.5% in September, while wage inflation dropped to 4.7% from 5% in the prior month. Average hourly earnings increased 0.4% though, after rising 0.3% in September, but the rise in wages slowed to 4.7% year over year in October, after advancing 5% in September, and the participation rate eased back just a little to 62.2%. The stronger jobs report comes just ahead of fresh inflation data coming out next week, which, if it continues to show inflation running hot, would lift the prospect of another 75 basis point rate hike next month. If inflation hasn't started to maybe dip below 8%, then I think probably the Fed is on tap for another 75 basis points in December. Tim Courtney, the chief investment officer at Accenture Wealth Advisors, said. On the other hand, we definitely are seeing some early signs of pricing pressure coming down, said Tom Plum, portfolio manager at Plum Balance Funds in Madison. Even though the Fed would not talk about a pivot or anything like that, I think the market is expecting them to remain data dependent, and in 6 months or so, we're going to see some significant cracks in the pricing pressure, he said. The MSCI index of global shares that tracks equities in 50 countries broke two straight days of losses and was up 1.72%. European stocks also rallied 1.81% higher a day after falling on rate hikes from the Bank of England and the Fed. Trading, however, was marked by wild swings through the day before stocks steadied and then pressed higher to the closing bell. Comments from Federal Reserve policymakers about rising rates proved a temporary dent in sentiment. And in fact, the US jobs report cut both ways. This week is a reminder that the intense volatility and emotional trading experience through much of the year is likely to continue, Mark Hackett, chief of investment research at Nationwide, told Bloomberg. Bottoming prices are rarely clean, and even if bulls are gaining control, pockets of weakness are inevitable. Wall Street's three major stock indices all closed higher, driven by technology, financials, consumer discretionary, communication services, and industrial. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 1.26% to 32,404. The S&P 500 gained 1.36% to 3,770. And the Nasdaq Composite added 1.28% to 10,475. The Dow's intraday range was more than 670 points. And whilst the New York FANG Plus index rose 2.3%, the VIX slid 3% to 24.55. Apple cut losses to end slightly negative, but Google and Microsoft gained more than 3%. Materials led the broader markets higher as commodities, including copper and iron ore, surged on speculation about China easing COVID-19 restrictions. Newmont Gold Corp, Lyngall Basel Industries, and Freeport McMoRan Copper and Gold all rallied, with the latter up more than 10%. Speculation about a China reopening also drove Chinese stocks higher, including Alibaba, Baidu, and JD.com. On the earnings front, quarterly results were mixed, with PayPal Holdings dropping by more than 1% as they gave lower full-year revenue guidance amid concerns about slowing economic growth. They offset quarterly results that beat on both the top and bottom lines. The lower guidance incorporates consumer discretionary spending slowdowns given inflation impacts to non-discretionary items. Oppenheimer said, though, added then that PayPal is a strong long-term holding. Starbucks, however, rallied by more than 8% after the coffee chain reported better than expected results driven by strength in its US and international businesses. Block also reported a third quarter beat on both the top and bottom lines, led by growth in its subscriber-based revenues in its Cash App. DraftKings, however, plunged 28% after the sports betting company reported a narrower loss in the third quarter, but warned of the impact on consumer demand from a weaker economic backdrop. Wall Street's rebound on Friday dissipated some of the gloom that's pervaded since the Fed on Wednesday hiked interest rates, while Chairman Jerome Powell said policymakers will likely take rates higher than envisioned in their bid to crush inflation. Nevertheless, the S&P 500 finished the week with a 4.6% loss, likely burning many bulls that had jumped aboard an October rally that lifted the index more than 8% from its lows. A break of the index's October 12th closing low would mark the fifth time this year that stocks have rallied by 6% or more to reverse course and plumb fresh depths. Meanwhile, data from Bank of America Global Research showed some $62.1 billion flowing into cash in the latest week. That's the largest inflow since the COVID-19 crash of early 2020, underlining pessimism that has prevailed among many market participants. We think we're on the path for a rocky landing for the economy, and next week we will get two pretty big clues as to what it's going to be like, says Steve Chavarone, head of multi-asset solutions for Federated Hermes, who is holding larger than normal allocations in cash and commodities. Consumer price data has driven huge market moves this year as surging inflation forced investors to ramp up expectations for Fed rate hikes. A strongly expected reading on November the 10th would likely bolster the case for the Fed to continue. Investors are actually now pricing in a peak of around 5.1% for the Fed funds rate next year, compared to expectations of just under 5% before the most recent Fed meeting. The central bank has raised rates, of course, to 3.75% this year. It is entirely conceivable to me we would end up over 5%, Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin said in an interview on the CNBC. But to me, that's not a plan. That would be an output of our efforts to try to keep inflation under control. And in notes after the jobs data, both Bank of America and TD Securities said they see the Fed lifting 0.5% in both December and February before stepping down to a 0.25% rate pace later. Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kashkari said the latest payroll report showed that hiring was, quote, quite healthy. That tells me that we have more work to do to try to cool down the economy and bring demand and supply into balance, he said in the interview. Boston Fed President Susan Collins, in separate remarks reported by Bloomberg, said it was premature to judge how high rates should go, but her views had shifted higher since submitting her projections for the Fed's quarterly forecast back in September. There has been a bit of disappointment in some of the data, and so that, I would say, broadened my view of where the rate that will be sufficiently restrictive might be, she said during an event hosted by the Brookings Institute. If we get lower inflation readings, then you could get a relief rally based on that data, said Emily Rowland, co-chief investment strategist at John Hancock Investment Management. In that case, however, markets will be more focused on higher probabilities of a recession. Strategists at Wells Fargo believe the CPI is more likely to fall short of expectations. They see the Fed's terminal rate falling by 12 basis points or more if the CPI comes in at a monthly gain below 0.4%. Analysts polled recently expect a 0.5% monthly rise. All told, disinflationary forces are gathering strength, Sarah House, senior economist at the firm, wrote on Friday. At the same time, analysts said a surprise win by Democrats in November midterm elections, which will determine control of Congress, could also fuel concerns about more fiscal spending and inflation. Republicans have been leading in polls and betting markets, and many analysts believe the likely result will be a split government with GOP control of the House of Representatives and possibly the Senate for the second half of Democratic President Joe Biden's term. If the Dems were to retain full control of Congress, you're more likely to get fiscal expenditures rising, and that would be highly problematic in this inflationary environment, said Spencer Lerner, a portfolio manager at Harbor Capital. Options hedges on the S&P 500 actually implies a move nearly 3% in either direction on the day after the election. Analysts at Goldman Sachs wrote this week, nearly twice the size of the average daily move the index has recorded this year. Some investors are more hopeful regarding the period of stronger markets that past midterm elections have ushered in rather than on moves stemming from the vote itself. The S&P 500 has posted a positive return in the 12 months following all 19 midterm elections since World War II, according to CFRA research. Similar gains could be in store this time around as long as inflation numbers not hotter than investors expect, said Kay Saskia, senior portfolio advisor at Northern Trust, who believes energy and financial stocks will perform well in a divided government. The results of the midterm will give greater visibility and help draw investor confidence higher, he said. And Nasdaq's Golden Dragon Index closed 8.8% higher in a four-day rising streak. The gauge advanced 17% for the week, erasing last week's concerns, which were spurred by concerns over President Xi Jinping's tightening control. The yield on the US 10-year bond edged 1.11% higher to 4.163, while the two-year was at 4.6585, still, of course, in recession inversion. The US dollar slumped after the employment report. The greenback initially rose just after the data, but fell as market participants digested the jobs report, noting the data was not all positive, and it supports the view the Federal Reserve could slow the pace of future rate hikes. The dollar index fell 1.9% to 110.79, while the euro was up 2.1% to 0.9958. Gold had its best percentage win in 2.5 years on Friday, as the hedge funds that typically hammer the yellow metal at any given opportunity gave it surprising love instead after the monthly US jobs report again overshot expectations, a situation that would normally benefit the dollar rather than gold. It sounded almost like one of those allegations of manipulation you commonly hear in gold, only this time those making the accusations were gold bears, not bulls. U.S. gold futures settled Friday's trade up 3.36% as the benchmark December contract finished at $1,685. On a weekly basis, December gold rose 1.9% for its best week in four. Gold's twist on Friday was unexpected enough that it had even strict trend watchers like Sunil Kumar, Dixit of SK Charting, mumbling manipulation. The job numbers simply don't justify what's happened to the dollar and gold, said Dixit, who projects that the dollar index should be around 114 instead, and spot gold could be possibly below the previous session's five-week low. The whales in the hedge fund game are clearly manipulating both the dollar and gold, though this time gold is benefiting, said Dixit. Gold commentator Mark Hubert also appeared to think the rebound wouldn't last. In his opinion, he said the yellow metal had to have a complete meltdown before it could rise again from its ashes, not unlike the proverbial phoenix. Long-suffering gold bugs will likely have to suffer a while longer, he said in a blog that appeared on MarketWatch. That's because gold traders, on the whole, have not thrown in the towel and thereby given up on the yellow metal. Only when this so-called capitulation occurs will contrarians be confident that a bottom is in hand. Though there have been several occasions this year when it appeared that capitulation was imminent, gold traders stepped back from the cliff every time. Today appears to be just another occasion. Oil prices rose by 5% amid the looming European Union ban on Russian oil, and as investors weighed the implications of China's easing of COVID restrictions, Brent crude futures settled up 5% to $98.62 a barrel, while US West Texas Intermediate rose 4.98% to $92.58 a barrel. A spluttering US stock rally faces a a double dose of potentially market-moving events next week with the US midterm elections and inflation data that could influence the Federal Reserve's monetary policy. Copper closed 7.1% higher on the London Metal Exchange, while zinc rose 5.7% and aluminium rallied 4%. The spot price of iron ore, though, rose to 83.32. The dollar fell 1.1% against the yen to 146.65, posting losses for a third straight week, and speculators reduced their net long bets on the US dollar to $3.08 billion for the week ended 1 November, compared with a net long position of $10.21 billion last week, according to US Commodity Futures Trading Commission data released on Friday. The US currency firmed on Wednesday and Thursday after Fed Chair Jerome Powell on Wednesday said the central bank could continue to increase rates if inflation does not slow, causing markets to price in a higher peak for US rates. Even as global central banks rapidly tightened financial conditions this year, US households, banks and businesses have so far been able to adapt, Federal Reserve Vice Chair Lowell Brainard said as the Fed released its semi-annual report on financial stability. Over the period, household and business indebtedness has remained generally stable, and on aggregate, households and businesses have maintained the ability to cover debt servicing despite rising interest rates, Brainard said on Friday. In written comments released alongside the report, she restated concerns that the rapid, synchronous global monetary policy tightening, along with surging inflation, the ongoing war in Ukraine, and other risks, could lead to the amplification of vulnerabilities, for instance, due to strained liquidity in core financial markets or hidden leverage. The turbulent state of the world was captured in a survey of researchers and market participants who flagged an array of emerging concerns associated with the changes both in market conditions over the past year and the worsening geopolitical situation. More than half of those participating in the survey cited market liquidity and stress as a salient risk, an issue not mentioned at all in the Fed's May Financial Stability Report. Concern over Ukraine, inflation and oil prices remained high, but added to that is now potential conflicts between China and Taiwan, cited by 42% of survey respondents. Overall, however, the document described an economy adjusting, if sometimes fitfully, to the Fed's rate hike cycle. Banks maintained adequate capital, and while equity prices fell, the report noted that real estate prices had largely held up. On balance, vulnerabilities arising from borrowing by non-financial businesses and households were little changed over the first half of 2022 and remained at moderate levels. The report said borrowing by businesses remained at high levels relative to gross domestic product in the first half of 2022, but some measures of their ability to service that debt improved as the effects of rising interest rates were offset by higher business earnings. But the report noted deteriorating liquidity in the Treasury market, but overall it had functioned smoothly over the past few months. The likely predominant driver of recent low liquidity appears to be elevated uncertainty about the economic situation and the outlook for the monetary policy, the report concluded. Liquidity conditions were particularly poor for older vintages of bonds, so-called off-the-run securities, and for Treasury inflation-protected securities, the report found. That said, market participants are not reporting major problems obtaining quotes or executing trades. The Interagency Working Group on Treasury Market Surveillance, comprising officials from the Fed Board, Treasury, New York Fed, Securities and Exchange Commission, and Commodity Futures Trading Commission, is expected to provide an update on its progress towards enhancing the resilience of the Treasury market, the Fed said, though it did not provide a timeline for that. And the reports also took note of the weakening economic conditions abroad from the war in Ukraine, China's ongoing zero COVID policy, and its problematic property market, as well as persistent inflation that could foster negative spillovers back to the US economy or financial system in certain circumstances. Lower growth trajectories and rapidly rising interest rates as central banks respond to inflation have led to bouts of market volatility, and the dollar has appreciated significantly against most other foreign currencies, the report said. During the long period of low and stable interest rates, some financial institutions increased their use of leverage and derivatives, putting them at risk of facing strains when rates now rising rapidly and volatility on the rise, the report said. And the Fed nodded to the recent market upheaval in the UK, where in September a sharp rise in government yields forced pension funds that had taken on leveraged interest rate positions to liquidate assets to meet margin calls, pushing yields up. This adverse feedback loop prompted the Bank of England to introduce a temporary bond purchase program to improve market functioning, the report said. More broadly, periods of market volatility may raise concerns about funding pressures for some financial institutions. Modern financial markets are interconnected, so stresses abroad could lead to strains in US markets and challenges for US financial institutions, the report concluded. Well, over in Europe, stock markets there traded higher on Friday, with the momentum generated by a positive tone in Asia on China reopening speculation overshadowing weak German factory orders. The DAX in Germany traded 2.51% higher at 13,459. The CAC 40 in France climbed 2.77% to 6,416. And the FTSE rose 2.03% to 7,334. New data showed orders to the key German manufacturing sector slumped by an alarming 4%, their sixth decline in the last 7 months, and the biggest decline since March. In the corporate sector, Société Générale stocks rose 4.2% after France's third biggest listed bank joined European rivals in posting higher than expected net income in the third quarter as market volatility boosted trading revenues. Telefónica stocks rose 1.9% after the Spanish telecom operator rated its full-year financial guidance and dividend commitments despite facing headwinds from soaring inflation and slowing economic growth. European equities received a boost from the strong gains in Asia on Friday on renewed speculation over an imminent relaxation of China's COVID-19 curbs, potentially lifting economic activity in the world's second largest economy and a major European export market. The Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong closed over 5% higher, while China's Shanghai Composite jumped 2.6%, both trading around three-week highs. Such a change will be positive for the global economy, a boost that is especially needed in Europe, as the slump in German factory orders suggests the Eurozone's largest economy is rapidly heading towards a recession. Chinese markets soared and the yuan rose on Friday, with about $1 trillion added to the value of Chinese stocks in a week, as rumors and news reports fed hopes for twin relief in US-China tension and China's tough COVID rules. The Hang Seng surged 5.3% and notched its biggest weekly gain in 11 years to 16,161. The Shanghai Composite rose 2.4% to 3,070 for a 5.3% weekly gain, the largest in more than 2 years, and China-sensitive assets around the world rose sharply. Bloomberg News reported initial US inspections of audit papers at US-listed Chinese companies, a long-running point of regulatory tension and risk, finished ahead of time, raising hopes that the US officials were satisfied. Unsubstantiated social media posts flagged an aim to relax COVID rules in March that have also driven optimism all week and seemed to get new momentum on Friday. A former Chinese senior disease control official told a closed-door conference that substantial changes to the country's zero COVID policy were set to take place in the next 5 to 6 months, according to data from Reuters. Any indication that some rules could be relaxed would be an immediate dose of grease in the jarring cogs of China's economy, said Sophie Lung-Yates, lead equity analyst at Hargreaves Lansdown. Gains were broad, overshadowing a downbeat mood in global markets on the prospect of US interest rates rising further than previously expected, and property and tech shares led the way. Property manager Country Garden Services rose 15%, and an index of mainland developers rose 9%. Hedge fund manager Li Ming said the reopening rumor is just the trigger for a rebound in an oversold market. The main reason for the market jump is that selling pressures had been exhausted after the market fell so much. Gains in value across Hong Kong and Shanghai over the week is around $1 trillion. However, the Hang Seng remains around 30% down this year against a 24% fall in world stocks, and the Shanghai Composite is down 15% this year. Strategists at TD Securities continue to expect a gradual easing of zero COVID restrictions, warning that markets could be in for some disappointment if investors are expecting something more rapid. Changes to COVID policies have not been officially flagged. A foreign ministry spokesman said on Tuesday that he was not aware of the situation when asked about rumours on social media that China was planning a reopening from strict COVID curbs in March. And Bloomberg also reported on Friday, citing unnamed people familiar with the matter, that China was working towards relaxing rules that penalise airlines for carrying COVID-positive passengers. A foreign ministry spokesman later said he was not aware of the report and that China's COVID policies were consistent and clear. An early conclusion to audit checks had also not been confirmed by either Chinese or US officials, by the way, yet markets are desperate to rally after the Hang Seng hit a 13-year low last month in the wake of China's Communist Party Congress. I did not see anything new that has changed the Hong Kong and China investment environment, said Frank Benzera, head of Asian equity strategy at Societe Generale in Hong Kong. The only explanation I have is that the sell-off has been excessive post-Congress. Valuation on some offshore names have been very distressed, and there is some bottom fishing. The currency joined in the rally, touching a one-year high of 7.2340 per dollar. It ends at 7.1851. Now in Australia, Afterpay owner Block led the Australian share market higher on Friday after reporting a stronger than expected third quarter profit, causing its share price to leap 10.9% to 97.03. Block's gross profit grew by 38% compared to the year earlier to $1.57 billion, beating analysts' projections. Its Cash App, Square, and Buy Now Pay Later assets offset weaker Bitcoin revenues. The S&P ASX 200 added 0.5% to 6,892 on Friday, lifting its weekly gain to 1.6%. The broader All Ordinaries Index added 0.6% on Friday. The energy sector rallied 3.4% as Woodside Energy firmed 3.9% to 38.17 and Santos climbed 2.3% to $8. Whitehaven Coal added 6% to $9.97 and New Hope Corporation rose 5.9% to $6.45. Perpetual advanced a further 1% to $29.12 following reports that the consortium of BPEA Private Equity and Regal Partners is expected to return with an improved takeover bid for the company. Outgoing Pendle Chief Executive Nick Good told the Australian Financial Review that the sale of the investment firm to Perpetual will proceed after the company reported a 17% increase in full-year underlying profit to $194.2 million. Shares in Pendle fell 0.2% to $4.51 on Friday. McGowan tumbled 2.4% to $9.56 after reporting net outflows of $2.4 billion in October. The firm's funds under management increased to $51 billion for the month from $50.9 billion at the end of September. CSR lifted its first half dividend by 22% to 16.5 cents after its building products arm generated a 15% rise in earnings before interest and tax to $139 million for the 6 months ended September 30. The stock firmed 3.5% to $4.69. The major banks, though, were mixed, with Commonwealth Bank down 1.4% to $103.05. National Australia Bank eased 0.1% to $32.12. NZ dropped 0.7% to $25.50, but Westpac climbed 1% to $24.14. In its quarterly statement on monetary policy, the Reserve Bank upgrades its trimmed mean inflation forecast to peak at 6.5% next month, up from 6% just 3 months ago. And the volume of retail trade rose just 0.2% in the third quarter, according to the ABS. That was slightly lower than economists were expecting. And finally, Bitcoin moved higher, with bulls having staged another attack on $21,000. And it's currently at a new 7-week high. And confidence does appear to be returning over the global macro outlook after volatility caused by the United States Federal Reserve interest rate hike. Bitcoin made up for some lost time and left bears and shorts in the dust. With sentiment split, though, over what the Fed will decide next month, there is still a sense of lessening doom among crypto commentators, with predictions of $30,000 US reappearing in November. But the picture for the rest of the fourth quarter remains muddy, as some still expect 2022 to copy the 2018 bear market. At the same time, there is hope that this bearish trend will be gone for good by the new year. That said, the overall crypto market capitalization has already moved above $1 trillion again. The potential for a push beyond 21,000, though, is probably limited thanks to exchange sellers stacking asks at that level. If you want to sell, place your order slightly lower than $21,000 on Chain Edge, a contributor at analytics platform CryptoQuant wrote as part of a tweet. Fellow CryptoQuant contributor Martin, meanwhile, added that market sell orders were still dominant in the current setup. Nothing has really changed other than a lower Bitcoin price, part of the Twitter commentary stated on that day. So the point about this is that the volatility continues. The ricochet, of course, I mentioned earlier on, is very, very relevant. And there's still plenty of uncertainty ahead. And I still think we're going to see markets struggle. But we'll report again next week. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.